This is an SOS distress call from the mining ship Red Dwarf. The crew are dead. Ow, hey, can I have a go at the recording thing? You want to do the black box recording? Sure, I've seen that thing. It ain't black at all. It's orange. I can totally pull off orange. Better than you. Better than anybody. Yeah, alright then, why not? Okay, how am I looking? I'm looking good. How am I sounding? I'm sounding better than good. I'm sounding sexy. Okay, here goes. This is an SOS distress call from the mining ship Red Dwarf. The crew are dead, turned into little piles of dust that make you sneeze if you sniff them. The only survivor was Frankenstein, the great mother cat, who was sealed in the hold. We, her descendants, are the cat people. Millions of years later, we await the return of our savior, Cloyster, who was frozen in time so that the Holy Mother and her baby kittens might live. Someday, he shall return and lead us to Fuchsal, where those who are worthy shall be allowed to take up the blue...
Nay, the red.
No, man, the blue.
Nay, the red.
Shut up, dog breath. Okay, the coloured hats of great majesty, and there should be sausages and sugary treats for all. If you can smell this message, you might be a cat. Additional. Thinking about it, it might help at this point if I attach some stuff so that you know what the blinking hell this is all about.
And in the third week, the Holy Mother ventured forth from Supply Pipe 28 in search of the milk. For lo, Cloyster had not returned to her as he had promised, and she was grown hungry, and her kittens were mewing piteously. But the supply pipe had been sealed, and she was driven down to the very depths of the hold. How the Holy Mother and the first generation survived, we know not. But in the days that followed, it was said that they found mice dwelling there. Some say there were ponds full of fish, and other growing things that the cats of yore did feast upon, so plentiful that some even thought this must be the Fuchsal of which Cloyster had foretold, though there was no sheep, no cow, and no horse. So, cat?
Cloyster said, leaning back in one of the refectory chairs.
Tell me more about this cat religion.
Come on, dude. That's all foggy stuff. We modern cats, we have better things to do. Cat demonstrated by examining his reflection in a window, turning and baring his fangs at himself. Ow, I'm looking good.
One thing I don't get. How did Sawyer Fuchsal get passed down from Frankenstein?
She be the Holy Mother, right? She would have told her kittens, and they told their kittens, and they told their kittens, and it all got mixed up somewhere. Probably because who's going to listen to what their parents got to say?
Ah, so it's like a game of telephone.
Tele-what?
Old 20th century game. Telephone was a thing you spoke into to talk to someone far away. A bit like the comms. But the game was you'd telephone someone who'd telephone the next and the next and the next, and in the end, the last person phones you and tells you what your message was. Always came out as something totally different.
That's one weird game. Why not just telephone whoever you wanted to get the message?
Oh, never mind, it's not important. How did you guys celebrate Fuchsal Day?
Like I told you, I don't remember much. I wasn't even born when the Arks left. It was just Mom and Pop and me and a couple of old priests. We ate hot dogs and we had a slobbiness contest. I wasn't wild for the sausages, but I ate a bunch of stale donuts and threw up once. I won the prize that year.
That's amazing. We should record your memories for posterity. Hey, all, can we do some recordings of the cat stuff?
Posterity? First you gotta find me a woman, then we'll talk about posterity.
An apparition of Cloyster then appeared to them. He smelleth not, and his body was insubstantial, yet he led them to the box of food-giving. Milk, saith he, and the milk flowed. Fish, saith he, and many fishes came forth. Vindaloo, he intoned, and that was the first taste of curry. And lo, there was much rejoicing. Okay, Cat. Ollie's going to record this, so tell him some more about cat theology.
I don't know, man. I was never that religious. What do you want to know, anyway?
Well, what was the big deal about the colour of the hats?
Ain't it obvious?
Obvious isn't the word I'd use, Cat.
Well, it's like, if you're wearing a red hat, you better not put on a scarlet suit. Or if you're wearing a blue hat, you gotta wear black or yellow shoes, you get me?
So it's a fashion thing?
Yeah, bud. I mean, I'm so good looking, there isn't a colour that doesn't look fantastic on me. Some of those other cats, you put a blue hat on one of them, they just look bad.
But I thought the cat priests were all about not having vanity. Sounds like they were pretty vain. They just didn't want to admit to it.
Hey, if everyone's dressed like a clown, it'd be a circus.
Right, you wouldn't want that. Okay, tell me more about me. I mean about Cloyster.
Did I tell you about how he led our people to the magical food giver?
No, what happened?
Okay, so the story goes that he came down and led our people up from the darkness, and there was a giant silver box, and he was like, yo, give me some fish, and some fish came out. Pretty cool, huh?
I was in the stasis pod. How could I be leading anyone anywhere?
Ah, I think I might have had something to do with that, Holly said.
Do you mean, Hull?
Well, I couldn't just let the kitty starve, could I? You were in stasis, Dave. So I activated your hologram. It did take about a week before you understood what I was trying to tell you.
Oh, eh? You trying to say I'm stupid?
Of course not. I'm saying you're really incredibly stupid.
Oh, eh, oh.
But if you sent the vision of Cloyster, how come he only came once? To be honest, he spent most of his time moping round and watching old Cruvids. It was creeping me out, so I turned him off. I always thought it was weird that Cloyster only appeared once. But the old cat daddies, they saw the other one a bunch of times.
Wait, what other one? You people had another god?
Not exactly a god, more of an evil spirit. The old cats didn't like to mention him, and if you said his name, you had to do a thing like this. The cat circled his wrist in the air and then tapped himself on the forehead in near-perfect mimicry of a Rimmer salute.
Oh my god, Cat, you're not telling me Rimmer?
What, goalpost head? Of course not. The spirit's name was Primper.
Primper?
That's right.
Your people had an evil spirit called Primper.
Shh, now you gotta do the hand thing.
Oh, are you getting this? Cat, will you stop that? You look like a div.
Holly appeared on screen. A red dot in the corner indicated that he was still recording. Got it. The gesture was probably a ritual to avert the bad luck incurred by speaking the name of the spirit. It's common for primitive cultures to have such superstitions.
But did you see what he did? Cat, what did this demon spirit thing look like?
I don't know, man. I never saw it.
What did he do? Why was he so evil?
He was the opposite of Cloyster. The anti-Cloyster. He was real uptight. The embodiment of everything unholy. Cleanliness, ambition, Hammond organ music.
It is Rimmer.
Rimmer came round the corner just then. Lister, what are you shouting my name for?
Now increasingly did our ancestors seek into all the nooks and crannies of their home, and lo, they came across a storage room full of boxes. Here did they find the box of Cloyster, full of magazines with pictures of monkeys with no clothes on, broken guitar strings, and a giant, yellow, inflatable thing, which puzzled them greatly, until one scholar identified it as the official fruit of Fuchsal. Thence it was known that all food in the world to come would be extremely large. Giant hot dogs, giant donuts, giant poppadoms, and so on. Until the end of days.
Cat walked into the cinema. Lister was sitting in the back row with his arm around someone. He moved away when he noticed the beam of light from the open door. Hey, Owl, who's your date?
This is Ingrid. Look, we're having a moment, so...
Sure, no prob, I'll be going. By the way, does she happen to have a sister?
No, she doesn't.
Are you sure? Because she's looking fine.
If you really want to know, she's not really real when it comes down to it.
Oh, she one of those alphabet heads? Hey, I thought Holly could only let you have one at a time.
No, she's not a hologram. She's a polythene pal. She's made out of plastic.
plastic? Wait a minute. Cat came round to look at Ingrid's face in the flickering light. That's no pal, pal. I've seen her before. Everyone had her back in the day. She was like a toy for us cats. We all had a turn with her.
What? How could you do this to me, Ingrid? It was supposed to be just you and me and, well, Rimmer, but now here you've been having it away with a whole other species. I thought we had something special.
She ain't too bright, is she?
And you? How come you never told me about this before? What would cats even want with a blow-up doll?
Well, I came here to show you some parts of the Holy Book anyway. Here, let me find the part about Ingrid. Cat took a long sniff of the text and then read, "The smell of Cloister the Stupid also lingered around another storage unit, this one containing the possessions of Primper, the enemy of Cloister. Here was found a trunk full of loathsome inflatable plastic naked monkeys, each identical to the next. These were the foul playthings of Primper, deflated and stored carefully away. The cat explorers would have left the trunk, their tails held high, but that the priests of Cloister bade them to take them and blow them up, to dress them in the starched and pressed uniforms of Primper, and then to toss them from cat to cat as a symbol that they should not fear Primper, for he was nothing but a stuffed shirt."
You've got to be making this up.
Lister sniffed at the book.
I can't read that. The Braves set out to investigate and follow where their feet would lead them, for as cats they had investigating feet. The virtuous among them wished to make pilgrimage to the sacred room of Cloister the Stupid, but they were driven back by the powerful smell of the dirty sock pile. Time and again they tried and failed, until one who was blind went forth, feeling her way.
As a translation note, it's probable that blind in this context means lacking the sense of smell.
Alone she wandered into Cloister's room, unescorted and unwary of the dangers lurking there, for the fiend, the terrible nemesis of Cloister at whose stomp we tremble, had left traps throughout that sacrosanct chamber. Worse were the instruments of grooming, the tail trimmer, the eyebrow brush, and the exfoliating paste. The blind one fell to temptation and came out in a leather jacket with an updo, reeking of perfume. Oh, she was one gorgeous lady.
The text becomes degraded beyond recognition at this point.
The blind cat did not know how lucky she was. Emboldened by her success and wishing to emulate her sexiness, other cats braved the room of Cloister, and within they found something so terrible that the full, squamous horror cannot be conveyed without tempting insanity for the reader. Its foul stench was unbelievable, and the extreme strength of its tentacles was a miracle to behold. It crept and oozed from its den until it filled the whole room with its overpowering reek, so that all but two of the brave warrior cats were struck down and did not rise again. And lo, those two did return and tell of its dread power, striking fear into the hearts of cats. The beast was declared a punishment for all those cats who had transgressed and lain with inflatable Ingrid. Then were the arks made ready to flee the punishment of Cloister. Those who were most fearful took the first ark and followed the directions left by Cloister himself to the Holy Mother. But their sins were upon them, and they survived not. It came to pass at this time that a prophet arose, and the prophet said, "Hear this, the punishment of Cloister the Stupid shall not be atoned for by any instrument of cool, but by using the powers of darkness. Primper is the only one who can save us." And the prophet was declared an heretic and stoned to death with stale doughnuts.
In an empty set of sleeping quarters, Rimmer was pulling off his shirt. "Holly? Holly!" Rimmer shouted. "Almost 4 o'clock. Where are you?" "I'm not comfortable with this, Arnold." Holly was reluctant and the screen remained blank. "Yes, well, neither am I, but I don't fancy looking like an orangutan." "You're a hologram, Arnold. Your hair doesn't actually grow." "Explain why I feel itchy, then." I'm sure I wouldn't know. It's perfectly normal, my old chum. Barbers have done this for men from time immemorial. Yes, I'm sure the Greeks were partial to it. You realise you're asking a computer with an intelligence of 6,000 to perform a bit of intimate grooming? If that's not workplace harassment, I don't know what is. Come on, Halls, I'll hook you up to the old Sinclair ZX Spectrum later on. Holly sighed dramatically, but his face finally appeared on screen. Fine, but you'll have to rip it off yourself. Okay, I'm ready. Just make sure the wax isn't... Ah! Too hot! No, actually, that's good. Keep going. A loud thump behind him made Rimmer jump and squeal, attempting to cover his bare chest with his hands. What are you doing here, you stupid cat? I was taking a nap until some monkey barged in and woke me up, Cat said. He slunk round Rimmer to peer at the mirror, smoothing his pompadour. Man, you really are the vainest guy I know. What's wrong with a little fur, anyway? Which reminds me, I gotta go perm my leg hair. See you later, monkey boy. Rimmer watched the cat leave, thumbing his nose in lieu of anything witty to say. On the screen, Holly was covering his eyes. I can't look. Tell me when it's over.
And lo, a few hardy souls did go to fight the beast, while those who remained knew not what to do, and hid under the bed. But when no brave warrior returned, and the squelchings of the beast grew ever closer, those that were able took the second ark from the aft of Red Dwarf, and journeyed forth in search of Fuchsal. The last of the cat priests has written these words as a record of the cat race's final days on Red Dwarf. Only myself and the boy remain now. May we find Fuchsal. If not now, then in one of the next eight lives. Right then, Cat, fill her up.
Lister tilted Ingrid so that her inflation point faced upwards.
She's got to be absolutely bursting before we do it.
Cat was pouring liquid into the opening. What if we miss? What if the rubber breaks?
Then we'll just have to do it by hand, but I really hope it doesn't come to that.
What are you idiots doing in here? Rimmer opened the communal bathroom door. Cat and Lister, holding Ingrid between them, tried to shield her from Rimmer's eyes.
Nothing, Rimmer, just making sure it's clean in here.
Cat quickly pulled Ingrid into a cubicle. Rimmer was suspicious. You look like you've got more soap on yourselves than the floor. Do you really think that I would believe that you, of all people, would volunteer to do cleaning?
Hole's making me do it. Says he won't let me order any more goat vindaloo till I clean all the washrooms.
Ah, is that right? Well done, Holly. Someone has to do it, otherwise nothing gets done around this place. Well, make sure to do the toilet bowls as well. Leave no inch unshined, my laddo. Rimmer had a glint in his eye. Lister made an obscene gesture behind his back, but Rimmer turned round and Lister had to pretend he was just scratching his head. You know, for a second I thought you were teaching the cat how to take a proper bath, like a normal person. Are you saying I smell haggis head? All I'm saying is that you carry a distinct odour of eau de poisson. With that rejoinder, Rimmer strode away, letting the door swing. What did he say?
Ah, never mind him, Cat. He can't smell anything anyway.
Yeah, well, little does he know, I only use the eau de cologne. You mean eau de cologne? No, I mean...
I don't want to know.
Right, come on then, lads, said Holly. Let's get this show on the road. Cat, Lister and Ingrid got into the nearest turbo lift and instructed it to take them to the aft part of the hold. As they descended, Holly said, I won't be able to hear you when you're down there. Be careful. If you don't make it, the scutters might not find your bodies for weeks.
Oh, comforting as that thought is, Hol, you really don't need to sugarcoat stuff for me.
Cat began scratching at the walls as they went lower and the smell became worse.
Okay, we better put the masks on before the doors open.
The cheesy smell was now developing a vinegary tinge so strong that it was starting to burn in Lister's throat. He pulled his own mask over his head before coming over to assist Cat and got clawed for his trouble. I'm not putting that on. It'll ruin my look.
It's just for a little while. No one's going to see you.
I'll see me. Those things are for dorks. I'd rather die.
If you don't put it on, you just might.
Anyway, as soon as you get out, I'm going back up.
Oh, no, you aren't. You're the only one who could read the holy book, and that's all we've got to go on here.
Fine. I'll hold my breath. Cat crossed his arms and turned his head haughtily.
Your funeral, buddy.
If it was my funeral, the box I would be in would be a hell of a lot more stylish than this. The doors to the aft hold compartment opened. The smell was so strong that Cat started hallucinating. Tentacles coming out of the walls made him almost regret refusing the mask. Almost. He kept trying to pounce on skittering things that weren't there.
Cat, stop it! We have to focus. Could be close.
Lister leaned on the stick he'd brought with him to poke into dark corners. Hey, mister, I am being stealthy here. See, this is my prowl stance. Cat crouched and made a snarl. Lister snuck along the corridor with Cat following erratically behind him. Even with the mask filtering his air, Lister could practically taste the horrid fetid stench. This shirt is silk, Cat moaned behind him. It's never going to be the same. You can't wash silk in strong detergent.
Okay, wait here. If I don't come back in 10 minutes, I don't know. Get Rimmer, I guess, and the scutters.
Roger that. Cat was clutching the wall, his head hanging as he breathed shallowly. Lister rounded the corner. The smell was like a physical force. He blinked. There was a miasma of greenish ooze. Reddish floaters vibrated in his vision. Was this finally it? The lair of the sock beast?
Oh, hey. Is that my favourite pair of Hawaiian shirt socks?
Sure enough, the socks with the big, boldly coloured flowers that Gran had given Lister for Easter one year. One of them was hanging off a horn-like protuberance on an enormous greyish-oozing mass. An enormous greyish-oozing mass that looked strangely alive. It pulsated slowly, greasily. Lister crept towards it. He turned his head to suck in a breath of relatively fresh air before advancing towards the monster. Were those tentacles? Antennae? Whatever they were, they waved in the air before pulling back suddenly as his movement displaced the air currents. It knew he was there.
Yeah, I'm coming for you, you big ugly blob.
Lister yelled, thrusting his stick towards the monster. The stick stuck and then was pulled out of Lister's hand. Sucked slowly into the beast with a disgusting slurping noise. A second later, there was an almighty burp and a smell that set off all the warning lights on Lister's mask. He had to get this done fast. The sock beast gurgled menacingly and belched out another cloud of fetor.
You're nothing but a bit of crud that grew from my old socks. I made you, and I can unmake you.
Lister whooped, adrenaline coursing through him as he intentionally goaded the beast. The monster reached out and prodded Lister. As the tentacle made contact, it hissed and fizzed, and the fabric of his overalls melted, leaving a large hole. Lister jumped and shrieked.
Oh, hey, there's no need for that.
Lister's bravado was suddenly shaken. He stood his ground, though.
Look, you must be lonely down here. Hiding out in the ventilation ducts, that's no kind of life for an impressive monster like you. How about you come with me? I'll find you some nice stinky old shoes to keep you company.
The beast shuddered, its mask quivering like a blancmange.
Eh? How about a couple of manky pairs of pants? You'll get along great, I know it.
The beast started to move towards him, whether in anger or out of a desire for company, Lister didn't know, but it was working. He just had to keep going.
That's it. That's a good little sock beastie. Come on, we'll go find you your friends.
As he backed up, the beast began moving faster, and Lister had to pick up the pace to stay ahead. Finally, he turned and started to jog down the corridor, glancing back every couple of seconds. It was gaining on him.
Almost there!
The beast slithered with terrifying speed, and Lister dashed around another corner, tripped over the cat, who was lying slumped against the wall. Lister grabbed onto Cat's shoulders and pulled him upright. Cat's head was hanging loose, his eyes rolled up. Lister slapped his cheeks.
Wake up, Cat! Come on, get up! It's coming! We have to get the smegging doll!
Stripy trousers with paisley polyester shirts! Mauve with yellow polka dots!
Smeg, he's delirious.
Lister half-supported, half-dragged the semi-comatose cat through the corridors to the doorway they'd prepared. Bob the Scutter was waiting there, holding a long pole with a scalpel from the Medibay sellotape to the end of it. Supporting the cat was slowing Lister down, and he only just made it to the door when the sock beast caught him. He could feel the clothes on his back dissolving.
Now! Do it now!
He screamed at Bob. Bob thrust the scalpel upwards and into the soapy water-filled Ingrid, who burst immediately. A cascade of suds drenched the sock beast. Lister turned to the cat, who was starting to come round now the stench was dissipating.
Boys from the dwarf!
The cat grinned weakly. Next time, you monkeys can do your own laundry.